Welcome to The Schmooze with Rabbi Levi Mintz, Rabbi of Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad for Seif, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Heish. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforsife.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550 WDUN. It is the Schmooze. So glad to be with you today. We've got Rabbi Levi Mintz with us this morning. Bill Main hanging out with the rabbi, and Lou Bob is going to be coming on with us in a little while to ask the rabbi a question. Always look forward to that. But Rabbi, how are you this morning?
Oh my gosh, it's great to be together with you, all of our listeners. Exciting to get the Schmooze going. And it's spring. It's beautiful. The birds are chirping. And depending how north you live in our county, you hear the roosters going at it in the morning. And it's just a beautiful time. It's a beautiful time. And of course, here at Congregation Beth Israel, the synagogue of North Georgia, bringing the Jewish community together with unconditional love and acceptance, is hopping and popping with activity. And I just want to share with you about two very exciting new happenings that are happening at the synagogue. And everyone can just go onto the website, jewishforsife.org, to RSVP, jewishforsife.org to RSVP. So the first thing is that we got an incredible four-week course, adult educational course, and it is about astrology, superstition, and the paranormal in the Jewish belief, like dreams. Should we take them seriously or not? Astrology, is my life defined based on the stars and the energies? Jinx, curses, is that a thing? Is it not a thing? What about angels and demons and spirits and souls? This is going to be, it's going to be a wild course. It is going to talk about things that, you know, today we live in an era where people are very curious. People want to dig a little bit deeper. People want to go in the supernatural and the paranormal. And what's fascinating is that Judaism has ideas about this and traditions about this that we are going to bring out from the Talmud, from the Mishnah, from the Zohar, from deep, old, authentic Jewish traditions about the Jewish approach to all of these different topics. It's going to be so enlightening, and of course, it's open to the entire community. All you got to do is RSVP. And just go to jewishforsife.org, jewishforsife.org, and get ready for this incredible, incredible four-week course. So that's number one. Number two is that we are 5 weeks away from the next Jewish festival of Shavuot. Shavuot is the festival where we remember and acknowledge the giving of the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And every year we have a community-wide spring outdoor dairy brunch. Bill, do you feel the energy over there?
Yes, I do. This
is annual community outdoor dairy spring lunch brunch. It's incredible. Between the cheesecake and the drinks,
oh my goodness,
and I mean all the salads. I mean, it's really beautiful. And of course, the coming together in community. It's fantastic. And of course, it's open to everyone. You just got to reserve. And that is going to be on Friday, May 26th, Friday, May 26th at 11 a.m. Just go to jewishforsife.org, reserve your space, come with your friends, come with your family. This is a beautiful, beautiful spring event connected with the holiday of Shavuot, the outdoors, the connection, the making friends, the community. It's really a huge annual highlight, and we're looking forward. The countdown is on, and it is for these two reasons that I encourage everyone, go to jewishforsife.org, RSVP today, and looking forward to making the spring season one that is really memorable and pushing the dial forward in all of our lives.
It is an exciting time of the year and a very exciting time there at Congregation Beth Israel. Rabbi, we're going to take a quick break and get Lou Bob on here, and I know she's got a question for you, so look forward to that, and we'll do that right after this. Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Back on the Schmooze, Bill Main hanging out with, of course, Rabbi Levi Mintz. And we've got Lubov back with us. Lubov, you brought another question for the rabbi. I'm kind of excited to find out what you have to say today. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I'm sure I'm not the only one with this problem, but sometimes I have a tendency to shoot myself in the foot with things I say because I'm a very direct person. And, you know, just the first thing that comes to mind comes out. And then 10 seconds later, I'm like, man, I should have thought about that. I should have really had some restraint and, like, processed it before it came out. And then I find myself in that over-analysis paralysis mode. So I'm curious, is there anything in the Torah or is there anything in, like, Jewish values that teaches someone to think before they speak and, you know, maybe not go through that process every time?
That's a great question, Lubov. So I'll tell you, there's two quotes that are referenced inside, you know, Jewish ideas, Jewish teachings. One is that a person should always think before they speak, right? That's sort of common. The second one is that actually being quiet is an attribute of a wise person. And I think both of these ideas are very much interconnected. Right, because the more wise a person is, so the more they'll think before they talk, as a result of it, they won't talk as much. Right? You can tell very quickly where a person is intellectually in how much they talk. If a person who's babbling, they obviously are not thinking before they're speaking, and that's the reason why they're quite frankly speaking so much. You know, they say when it comes to people who give sermons that what is the difference between a rabbi that gives a long sermon and a rabbi that gives a short sermon? It has to do with how much they prepared. The more the rabbi prepared, the shorter the sermon will be. The less the rabbi prepared, the longer the sermon will be. Because the more we think before we talk, what ends up happening is that less words actually come out of our mouth. We're more articulate. We're more focused. We're able to really pinpoint the idea that we want to express. So, yeah, Lubov, this happens all the time. And of course, it takes a lot of control. But let's take a step back, right? Meaning, why should I care?
Right.
Why should I care? Why should I care to think before I talk? Well, there's a whole host of reasons why I should care, right? On the most like pragmatic level, it's just sort of highlighting your question, because sometimes when we don't think about what we say, we offend people, we put people down, we get ourselves into situations that we wish we never got into, and then we find ourselves 2 days later calling our mother-in-law, our father-in-law, our brother-in-law, our sister-in-law, our neighbor, our child, our friend, you know, our spouse, and saying, I want to just clarify what I meant. This is really what I wanted to say, and it came out this way. So on a very pragmatic level, that's obviously reason number one. But reason number two is that words are very powerful. And when we use words properly, we build worlds. We build people. When we use words negatively, we can destroy worlds. We can destroy people. I want to share like a Kabbalistic idea with you, Lubov. When you look inside the Torah, when it talks about creation, in the beginning of the book of Genesis, it doesn't say that God built a world. It says that God spoke and the world came into being. Right? Regular people, when we build things, what do? We get some wood, we get a hammer, we get a nail, and we start getting our hands dirty, or for a little, you know, a little careful about getting our hands dirty, we'll put on gloves. But you got to get involved and engaged in what you're doing. But in the Torah, when it talks about creation, like how did the world come to be, it says that God spoke. God spoke and the world came into being. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be luminaries, and there was luminaries. God said, let there be animal life, and there was animal life. God said, let there be Adam, a human being, and the human being was created. God used the tool of words to teach us one of the many lessons is the power of words. Words can build a universe, or it can destroy it. And that's why we always want to be so careful that when we tap into our own energy of speech, which remember, we're all created in the reflection and in the image of God. So our speech is a micro of the macro of God's energy of speech. We want to be really careful that when we use this energy of speaking, we're lifting people up, we're creating a better world. And so when a person realizes that it's like a nuclear energy, think about what goes on today. We're all very careful about which countries have nuclear energy, which don't. And even the ones that do, think about how many restrictions there are for each country in what it takes to push that button and let that nuclear power go out, because it's a very strong force. I think the Torah is teaching us, Lubav, that speech is the same type of energy. It is nuclear energy. If we use it right, it becomes the greatest blessing. If we use it wrong, it can be the thing that destroys the world. Just to conclude, Lubav, with a final idea about this idea. If you speak to children and you ask them, what changed their life? What lifted them up? Most of the time, they will tell you that they had a mother or maybe an aunt or maybe a mentor who told them something and it moved them and it inspired them and it changed their trajectory of life. And then if you ask other people that deal with inner trauma and brokenness and dealing with very difficult ways of looking at their life, looking at the world, and you ask them, where did it start? What do they usually, not all the time, but what they usually tell their therapist? But my mother told me every day, what my grandmother told me every day, I had this teacher, what he or she told me, and it destroyed my life ever since. Words are really so powerful. So we want to use this gift. It's a beautiful gift. It's a great energy. And obviously, whenever we have the ability to tap into it, we want to first think before we speak. We want to recognize that this is such a good tool. And of course, every time we open our mouth, we want the end result is that it lifts people up. It lifts the world, and it makes the world a better place, and not, God forbid, the opposite.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you said. I think, in my defense, when I am blunt with people or direct, I mean it to come from like a good place of like I'm being a real person, I'm being raw, which I think is something people respect. However, on the flip side of that coin, sometimes, you know, to your point, that it's the tactfulness. Just kind of, and then you blurt out, you're like, well, this is how I really feel, in an effort to not be fake, right? In an effort to not be that person that's like passive aggressive that might think you're wearing an ugly blouse, but say you're wearing a great blouse. You know what I mean?
You never want to be honestly rude. That's not a virtue, right? You can't say, I'm rude. I'm honest. You can never be honestly rude. There's actually a debate in the Mishnah between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about if a Jew walks into a wedding and they see the bride, are they allowed to lie and say that she's beautiful? And the law is that 100% you should lie and tell the bride that she's beautiful. Why? Because if my honesty results in being rude and putting that person down, how can I ever validate that? And so, yes, being straightforward is good, right? But we have to know when to use it and where to use it. Sometimes when it comes to business and closing a deal, you know, being straightforward is important. But if it will in any way offend a person, and it won't lift them up, then a person couldn't lead and say, but I was being honest. They're just being rude.
That's very interesting, and I feel like you did answer that because it really came from like the good place of like, I just want to be a real person. I don't want to tell you something and think something else. But what I'm hearing you saying is if you show up to a wedding and you hate the wife, I mean, obviously you have to have tact, right? You don't want to be rude, but you're saying, would you still compliment the bride on her appearance, even though she thinks you think that that's not appealing?
Of course, because what bad is happening? The only thing that's coming from it is that the bride who put all that energy to make herself look beautiful on her wedding day will feel validated and feel good
sure.
and feel recognized. You know, and when it comes to taste, right? You know, you see someone, they're wearing a shirt. It may not be your color. It may not be your, but there's nothing unethical by saying, wow, you look great. What's the option? Tell the person that they don't.
Well, no, the option is just not say anything at all. Like, don't make
right. comments. Okay, so I agree. You don't always have to make compliments, but then again, at a wedding,
yeah.
that is sort of status quo, meaning there's a limelight on the bride that the bride at her wedding, you know, it's a thing that she comes to the wedding looking beautiful. So the Mishnah says that there's not a conflict of ethics to tell the bride, even though you think she's not beautiful, to tell her that she is. Let her feel joy in her day.
It's like, you know, if your wife comes out, do I look fat in this? Do you say the truth or do you say, no, you look great, honey? That's the same concept.
You nailed it.
Awesome.
This has been a great schmooze so far. This is really helpful stuff for sure. Thank you so much, Lubov. You know how to bring good questions. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad.
We'll be right back with more of the schmooze. Stand by.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Back on the Schmooze, our final segment for this get-together. Rabbi Levi Mintz standing by. And Rabbi, great discussion with Lubov. That was really a lot of fun, educational, and something to certainly take away from it. What are your final thoughts on that?
You know, I want to piggyback on our last discussion. Of course, that would be very sacrilegious. We can't piggyback. So let's chicken back.
I was wondering about that.
You know, why do people speak negatively about other people in general?
It's
coming from a very insecure place.
No.
The more insecure a person is with themselves, the more they have to gossip, the more they have to talk about other people. They're just looking for an angle and a way to put the other person down, because by putting the other person down, it makes them feel that they're now propelled. Now they're in a higher place. The more secure a person is with themselves, they don't have any time to speak negatively about other people. On the contrary, the more secure a person is with themselves, the more they use their energy to speak positively about other people. Why? Because by having other people elevated, in no way does it impact them where they are. So the Torah tells us about a leper, a metzora. A metzora was a person that spoke negatively about others, which really reflected where they were in their soul, where they were in their core. They were in a low place. So how does a person get healed? Before we discuss about how a person gets healed, the Torah tells us an interesting thing, that a person who's walking around with this negative energy about themselves, about life, where it's just crass and low and vain, that negative energy not only makes their body impure, but it says in the book of Leviticus that it even makes the vessels in the home that they live in impure. Now, it's a very spiritual idea, which may, you know, technically seem like not so relatable, but we all ooze an energy. And you can go into a home where the person living there is upbeat and elevated and has an energy of bringing people together, the whole home is a different home. Then you go into the same type of a home where you have another person who's low and depressed and doesn't want to bring people together. The whole home is dark and down. You feel it. So there's energies that we exude that impacts where we live. So the Torah says an interesting thing. Get a load of this, Bill. It says that if a person walks with this energy, this leper energy, this mitzora energy, walks into their home, the whole home is going to take on that negative energy. If this person walks into another person's home, now we have a problem. Because this other person has a home that doesn't need that negative energy. They don't need it in their life. So the question is asked in the Torah, how long does the owner of this home have to not let this person bring down their whole home and transmit their negative energy into their home? Could you imagine? This is an actual question.
Wow.
And there's a rabbi by the name of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which is a Mishnah, so it's like second century of the Common Era. And this is what he says. He says the amount of time that it takes for a Jewish woman to light the Shabbat candles on Friday afternoon before Shabbat, that's the amount of time that it takes where the owner can protect their home from this impurity that may come in. Now let's think about this, Bill. Couldn't this rabbi just make life much simpler for everyone and just say, you got 3 seconds. Just give a time. Why do you have to give such a like cryptic answer that the time that it takes for a woman to light Shabbat candles on Friday afternoon? Because essentially what this rabbi was teaching us is that the light of the Shabbat candles in mystical language is the light of wisdom that a woman brings to her home. And when there's wisdom in a person's life, there's light in a person's life. And when a person has light and wisdom in their world, they can be surrounded by the darkest of all people, the most negative of all situations, but it lights up the situation for themselves and for the other person. And it helps the situation transform itself and create a more peaceful dynamic. But what Rabbi Yehuda was saying is that there's always going to be situations in our life where there's other people with negative energy, so on and so forth. So how do we protect ourselves? Not only how do we protect ourselves, how do we help that person? Light Shabbat candles. Bring more light and more wisdom in the world. And sometimes this person who's feeling down and self-consumed and has no spirit of life, sometimes the only thing that they're really missing in their life is light, is wisdom, is elevated ideas, especially elevated ideas that come from the Torah. And so if we want to be a part of the answer to protect ourselves and to help the other, shine light, shine wisdom, a holy wisdom, the wisdom of Shabbat candles. And this is a way that we can take care of this negative energy, right? A lot of times when people see negative energy, you know what they want to do? Cancel it. Cut it off. Judaism comes along and says, slow down. Before you go so extreme and cut off those relationships and cancel it, did you first genuinely try to light your Shabbat candles? Did you first genuinely try to first shine light, shine wisdom, uplift, make better, bring a light that brings peace? Did you? Because usually when we do that, what ends up happening is that the entire relationship is changed, the situation transforms itself, and it's a much better reality. And this is a great idea, that the power of light, the power of wisdom, the power of the ideas that are given in the Torah have a way of really illuminating our homes, our family, our relationships, our connections, and it allows to really transform any seemingly negative situation into one that is very beautiful and uplifting and positive.
Rabbi, you've done it again. What a great way to send us out into the week. And let's all go out and shine. And let's see if we can get the positive energy to overtake the negative. I love it. I really do. Great to smooze with you as always. And look forward to another one next week.
Absolutely, Bill. And let's never forget, L'chaim to life. Always infuse life into life.
The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life.
more than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforsife.org.